Thought the old man was trampled to death by a stallion.
We're supposed to think that. I saw his son with a club that had an iron horseshoe nailed to its end. He used it to batter his father into the dirt. Puddled his brains.
You didn't let on that you saw this. No, of course not. Stupid question, Mildred Wyeth.
Emma was silent.
You let the Baron find out you knew he cheered his own father? How, Emma? Why?
She was on the brink of tears, talking only to Jack, her golden eyes locked on his ruby ones.
You don't understand what it's like being a mutey, Jack. I keep telling you all that I can't control it. What I see and when I see it, it comes in a flash without warning, so I can't get ready for it, ready to try to conceal my emotions at what I see.
The murder came to you out of the blue, that it?
Sure did. Clancy wasn't a bad Baron, and I saw enough to figure his father deserved the killing.
But?
There's always a but, isn't there, Ryan? He said he wanted to marry me. Said it out in front of half his family. We'd ridden to a picnic on horseback. Patty had a fine stallion called Bluegrass Prince. When he said he wanted to marry me and be as good a husband to me as he tried to be a son, I saw it all.
The killing?
Yeah. Yeah. Patty stood there in front of me, offering a glass of elderberry wine, brothers and aunts and nieces all around him. But I saw another guest at the picnic. Another Patty Clancy, gripping the metal-tipped club he'd made oh so secret. Blood on the horseshoe. Blood and brains splattered all over his white shirt and across his face and all down his arms, matted in his red hair.
What did you say? It must have been a thoroughly dreadful moment for you, poor child.
Oh, it was, Doc. By stone and water it was.
Go on. Ryan was only half listening to the young woman's story, since he already knew how it was going to turn out. Obviously, she had blurted out the murderous secret, yet she must have escaped. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here with him now. He was more worried that what she'd done once, she might do again. And also, there was the strange locked section at the rear of Baron Sharp's Mutey collection to worry about. Emma had just explained how she told everyone at the picnic of the horrid specter that she'd seen in her vision.
It was like I'd spit in everyone's face. The Baron turned white as a fresh laundered sheet and broke the glass in his fingers. The white wine turned pink with his blood. For once, I recovered faster than any of them, and I broke and ran. I threw myself on the back of Bluegrass Prince, and I snatched loose the reins from a thunderstruck groom. And I was away.
They chased you?
Jack got up off the bed and started walking around the room, brushing his long pale fingers across the tops of the furniture.
Nobody could catch the prince. Oh, I rode the poor beast until he frothed and foundered, a full 40 miles away from the ville.
And came wandering east.
Christy shook her head.
It'll happen again, you know, Emma.
I know. I know, I try to hide it, but it's like having a dagger of ice thrust into your heart. Anyone would cry out.
You gotta take triple care.
Jack sat by Emma again and took her hand.
I know. It's a horror to me.
Let the wrong word slip and you can get yourself chilled.
No. Wrong word slips and she can get us all chilled.
Supper with Baron Sean Sharp passed without any problems. The food, as before, was dull at its heart. A haunch of mutton, steamed with cabbage, turnips, and okra, was the main course of the meal. During a watery soup with shredded eggs and fragments of gristly bacon that preceded it, Baron Sharp seemed to be almost asleep.
So, what did you think of my little collection?
Well, most interesting, Baron. I don't think I've ever seen anything.
Yes, I know. You've never seen anything like it. The animals are so exotic, etc., etc. And like so much else in this wretched life, I find it incredibly boring. Joaquin showed you all the animals, did he?
Sharp looked across at his sec chief, who shook his head in a barely perceptible movement. But Ryan noticed it, and wondered at the message that lay behind it.
Yes, he did, but I won't bore you further, Baron, with my poor thoughts on them.
Better, yes, better. Well, well, better.
That is the most amazing hair, Miss Roth. I don't suppose it conceals any strange skills, does it?
What kind of skill?
The Baron leaned back in his carved oak chair.
Any sort of unusual skill, my dear.
Ryan stepped in quickly, seeing the hazardous direction that the Baron's thoughts were taking.
I don't think any of us have any special skills worth mentioning. Though we're all fair hands with a blaster or with a knife, as your sec man Joshua Morgan can testify.
What of the snow-headed lad?
What of me, Baron?
You outlanders are so eager to take offense when none is intended. I still have a slight curiosity. Such pale skin and eyes that glow like embers of a fire. Do you see in the night? That might interest me a little if you did.
I see pretty bad in the sun, Baron.
Halfway through the eating of the stolid main course, Sharp showed a peculiar change in his personality.
This is ditch water! I can't abide food that tastes of nothing! Servants! Spices, damn you! Bring peppers, salts, and chilies, and be quick about it!
Schizophrenic.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Mildred.
Ryan watched as Sharp stood and threw his napkin across the table.
This food is shit! Fit to tar a boat, but not fit to serve the guests!
His face turned red, and a vein pulsed with rage.
A lot of fuss about nothing. It seems rather like taking a toothpick to a mastodon.
White-aproned, sweating kitchen servants ran in, carrying bowls and jars, laying them on the table in a semicircle around the enraged Baron, who attacked them with an unsettling ferocity, scattering spoonfuls of powder over his platter of mutton. Yellow powder and red powder, speckled powder, gray and green, and red and green pastes, some with tiny seeds showing in their midst. In considerably less than a minute, the food was almost totally obscured.
There. Now.
He sat back at his place.
You can all help yourselves to give this dreck a passing temporary resemblance to real food.
The condiments and spices were passed around, most of the companions helping themselves to some of them, though there was a deal of suspicious sniffing and dipping of fingers to taste what was in each container.
Cumin and tarragon.
Mildred licked her lips after trying the light green paste, freckled with seeds.
Ah, that's good hot chili. Sort I used to get sent to me by an aunt in Chimayo.
There was also a plain peppermill that she used to sprinkle the minute black grains over the unappetizing meat.
Thanks, Baron Sharp. It surely makes a difference. Dean, go easy on some of them, especially the green chili. It'll make your lips and tongue feel like they've been blasted with molten glass.
Yuck!
Ryan also tried the chili, and he watched in stunned admiration as Baron Sharp tucked into the equivalent of a couple of pounds of mixed spices, including a good quarter pint of the chili. The brutally handsome face of the blonde man was quickly streaming with sweat, pouring down his cheeks and dripping from his chin and from the tip of his nose. His complexion grew so flushed that Mildred muttered to Joaquin, sitting on her far side, that some tumblers of water would be a help for everyone. Sharp seized the jug as it was laid on the table and drained it in a single gulping draft.
Better. Well, better. More of it.
Everyone ate in silence, quite uncomfortable at the Baron's behavior.
This proves what I always say.
What's that, Doc?
Food is killing the art of conversation.
It was close to 11, and most of Ryan's party had retired to their beds for the night. He and Christy had opened the windows of their room, allowing cool, damp air to blow away the mustiness. Now they were sitting together by the casement, content to be quiet in each other's company. There had been a piercing cry from out in the night a half hour earlier, but there had been nothing to be seen, except for light shining in what seemed to be the rear part of the building that housed Sharp Zoo. Ryan stood and walked across the room.
Who is it?
Morgan. Josh Morgan.
Yeah? What do you want?
Got an old woman in the infirmary asking to see you.
Why?
Can I come in, Ryan? Don't want to shout this all around the ville.
You alone?
Sure.
Coming in, Morgan.
You take care, don't you, Carter?
Living is taking care. What is it?
We heard word from Clinker Scales that the Lincoln